That touched my heart like a coronary thrombosis. But then I thought, maybe the writer means that Wall Street needs psychiatric help to overcome its psychotic greed. Unfortunately, no. The head of something called the Partnership for New York City, led by bankers and CEOs, is actually pleading that the government must step up to help J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Bank of America, and other Wall Street baronies, which she says are suffering the loss of thousands of finance jobs. She wails that Wall Street's role as, quote, an elite financial marketplace is endangered because great powers. Surely, I thought, this is a put-on, maybe a satirical reprint from The Onion. But no, her group wants tax incentives to help poor financial powers retain bankers, plus a lower corporate tax rate, looser bank regulations, relief from rising rents, protection from cyber attacks, and much, much more. Has no one told her about the trillions of public dollars Wall Street is still getting from government bailouts and subsidies? How odd that bankers would think the hard-hit public would be sympathetic to their appeal for more aid from the big bad government, which bankers routinely demonize for providing, quote, handouts to the poor. This is Jim Hightower saying, as these banksters keep telling poor people, the unemployed, and others in real need, Wall Street should pull itself up by its own bootstraps. And if the banks want aid, let them go to the Little Sisters of the Poor and pick up some canned beans and used clothing.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you found yourself near the Burnside Bridge last night around midnight, you may have smelled the moment that Oregon law changed to allow adult consumption of marijuana. A large group of people gathered to celebrate the new law and to receive free handouts from some of the established marijuana producers in the state. Handouts included free marijuana as well as seeds. It is now legal to grow up to 4 plants at your home, and many activists believe that handing out free seeds is a good way to flood the market, hurting and possibly even eliminating the black market. It is not yet legal to actually purchase marijuana in the state. However, medical marijuana shops may begin sales as early as October. Police warn that being high while driving will be considered a DUI and that publicly visible consumption is also illegal. Although marijuana is legal for adults in the state, there are several hurdles left to overcome, such as removing the drug from employment screening and changing the legal penalties associated with the drug.
The Department of Justice has sent letters to several major airlines requesting copies of all communications between the airlines, as well as their communications with investors. The probe comes after accusations that the airlines are intentionally keeping ticket prices high and possibly even coordinating with each other when adjusting fares. Since 2008, several acquisitions have left customers with only 4 major competitors to choose from when they're flying. This also comes at a time when the airline's income from checked baggage fees and fees on changing reservations have led to over $19 billion of additional income over the past 2 years. Industry experts also argue that jet fuel is at a reasonably low price and that more flights are meeting their capacity. This could mean that airlines are intentionally slowing their growth to maintain high capacity on flights. Some ticket inflation may also have to do with the fact that big airlines maintain routes that may not be immediately profitable, in part hoping for growth on less traveled routes, but also for concern that their competitors might take those customers away. Budget airlines, however, have shown faster growth by planning their business around demand, leaving some investors feeling that the big airlines should step up their business model.
The Oklahoma Supreme Court has ruled that the Ten Commandments monument must be taken down since it is a religious symbol and therefore violates the state's ban on using public property to benefit a religion. The 7-2 ruling overturned a district court decision and prompted recall efforts against the justices who said the monument must go. Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt argued that the monument was similar to a monument in Texas that was approved by the U.S. Supreme Court. The Oklahoma Supreme Court countered that the monument violated the Oklahoma Constitution, not the U.S. Constitution. Pruitt says he will ask for a rehearing as well as suggesting that the specific provision that the monument violated should be removed.
The struggle to institute new marriage rulings made by the Supreme Court is heating up in parts of Alabama. Shortly after the federal ruling, Supreme Court Chief Justice Ray Moore issued an order that Alabama probate judges not issue marriage certificates to same-sex couples, saying that it was illegal under state law. The judge's order contradicts a federal ruling in January that found the Alabama ban illegal. U.S. District Judge Callie Grenad issued a ruling Wednesday that probate judges may not discriminate who they hand out marriage licenses to as a result of the federal ruling. As it turns out, while the judges may not discriminate against gay people wishing to get married, they may refuse to issue any marriage certificates at all. Proponents of gay marriage in the area say that they are not worried about the handful of counties, saying that public pressure will eventually change those counties that are refusing marriages.
Google caught the attention of the internet with its image recognition software, but for all the wrong reasons. On Sunday, a user tweeted a screenshot of the software labeling black people as gorillas. Google immediately reached out and apologized, saying that the imaging software is complicated and frequently has a problem with skin tones and poor lighting. Until recently, most imaging software had problems from differentiating between people and dogs. Google has responded to the problem by teaching its software words that it should be more cautious of. The ability for computers to understand visual images is still in its early stages, and in a sense, the software must be taught to understand things, which leads to a lot of trial and error. Web service Flickr had problems earlier this year when its software incorrectly identified people as animals and in some cases tagged Holocaust photos with the words sport, gym, or jungle gym. The best way to improve these systems is user input. When the system incorrectly tags a photo, when you delete the erroneous tag, it teaches the software how to handle the photo and those like it in the future.
Residents of Sacramento, California began experiencing a large internet service disruption after someone physically cut a fiber optic line in the area. The FBI is investigating several cases over the last year in which someone has gone to remote areas and intentionally cut internet cables. The FBI estimates that there have been 11 such attacks in roughly the same area of California. Security experts are warning that someone may be testing the response of internet companies in preparation for larger-scale attacks. Fiber optic cables are generally surrounded by a conduit and buried. Once exposed, they are very delicate and very easy to cut. When commercial internet lines are cut, the damage can result in cell phone service drops, problems in emergency communication, and internet outages.
According to a portion of the draft version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal, or TPP, leaked by Politico this week, the agreement has been crafted in part to benefit the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies. Lobbyists for the companies, members of the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association of America, pushed for intellectual property-based restrictions on generic drugs. The protections proposed by U.S. trade representatives could transcend domestic patent laws and FDA regulations, which mandate that generic drug manufacturers be able to produce drugs and generally sell them for a fraction of the brand's name's cost after patents expire. Drug patents usually expire about 4 years after a brand name drug is put on the market under current law and regulations. For many patients, generic drugs are the only affordable option for treatment, and brand name medications are often not covered by insurance. The FDA currently ensures that substituted generics are at least 99% as effective as their brand name counterparts. Though generics may not disappear under the final TPP negotiations, it appears likely that patents will be extended and even that data be required for manufacture might be held back by the original drug developers past the expiration of patents. One of the greatest dangers to patients in the draft document is so-called patent linkage, which bars governments of TPP member countries from approving generic drugs if there are any outstanding patent disputes. This could enable big pharmaceutical companies to use their extensive legal resources to delay the production and sale of generic drugs almost indefinitely. Doctors Without Borders condemned the provisions. Director of Policy Rohit Malpani said that there was, quote, very little distance between what pharma wants and what the U.S. is demanding.
An investigation by a French newspaper revealed today that the nation's DGSE intelligence agency has been intercepting telephone communications from around the world. The French daily, Le Nouvel Observateur, stated that the former President Nicolas Sarkozy authorized a program in 2008 to use a secret cable network linking Europe with the rest of the world to engage in a spying operation, which parallels the activity of the American National Security Agency, also known as the NSA. The cables connecting French information gathering stations to the U.S., India, Southeast Asia, and West Africa were used for the purpose via 700 million euros in secret funding. L'Observateur also reported that the program was renewed by current French President François Hollande and that it has been conducted in cooperation with British intelligence agencies and the approval of Prime Minister David Cameron. Hollande recently denounced the U.S. for an alleged program of industrial espionage exposed by WikiLeaks, which claimed that the NSA was assigned to obtain intelligence on, quote, all aspects of the French economy, unquote, possibly with the purpose of competing for corporate contracts such as defense programs. It reportedly intended to allow the U.S. and U.S. corporations to snatch any contracts valued at over $200 million that might otherwise have been available to France. Ironically, considering L'Observateur's report, Hollande also criticized the relationship between U.S. and British intelligence services. In light of the new information, France's espionage program may have been considered a justified response to counteract U.S. interference, though the relatively early date of its inception, as well as its extent, leaves some doubts. President Barack Obama has personally denied Hollande's allegations. Hollande retorted that the U.S. spying was unacceptable and that France would not tolerate it.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. One Palestinian youth injured by Israeli troops and many others kidnapped during invasions targeting West Bank communities. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. One Palestinian youth was injured, five kidnapped when Israeli soldiers invaded on Tuesday at dawn Tel and Kassara village and Asira al-Shamaliya town in the northern West Bank district of Nablus. Media sources in Tel village, southwest of Nablus, said that Amir Khadr Hamad, 19 years of age, was shot with a rubber-coated metal bullet in his left leg. The sources added that clashes took place between the invading soldiers and local youth. Also on Tuesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers kidnapped two Palestinian children in Yatta town near the southern West Bank city of Hebron and handed nine families notices to stop construction of their homes. Moreover, Israeli soldiers kidnapped on Tuesday morning a young Palestinian man in occupied East Jerusalem less than 12 hours following his release after he spent 6 months and a half in Israeli prison for incitement on Facebook. Soldiers also kidnapped his father. On late Monday night, hundreds of Israeli soldiers invaded 10 villages in the central West Bank district of Ramallah, searched dozens of homes and property, and confiscated surveillance tapes looking for shooters who seriously wounded one Israeli settler and moderately injured three others. Israeli medical sources have reported that four Israeli settlers have been injured, one seriously, late on Monday in a shooting attack carried out near Shuvarechil Junction, south of Nablus in the northern part of the occupied West Bank. In other news, Israeli soldiers invaded Jibna village in Masafer Yatta area in Hebron and handed nine families military orders to stop the construction of their homes, in addition to handing three orders for demolishing tents and sheds the families currently inhabit. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, June 30th, 2015 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. This report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Catherine Matichek, Joe, Rachel, Jimmy Tardy, and Nathan Behensky. The producer is Galen Sanford. Special thanks to all of our reporters. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard about on the news tonight, here are their numbers, so grab something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with author Toby Rogers about his book Ganja Godfather, the real-life story of marijuana wars in New York City. At 9, it's Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagrang speaks with investigative journalist, economist, and lawyer James S. Henry about failed state, Greece, or European Union. At 10, Air Cascadia is off. We'll hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Jay Theemeyer speaks with Portland writer Justin Hawking about his book, The Great Floodgates of the Wonderworld, winner of the 2015 Oregon Book Award for Creative Nonfiction. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, author Stuart K. Robinson challenges us to overcome boundaries that limit possibility in his book, It All Begins with I, The New Rules of Thinking. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks, members, for your support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.